Today on The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe.
If God deals with us as individuals, if the Good Shepherd knows our name, if Paul the Apostle recognized and valued people as individuals, shouldn't we do the same? Don't hide your love from people. Express it.
Welcome to The Verdict, the daily radio program featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor John Monroe. The gospel isn't about attracting numbers. It's about God loving each one of us, desiring a personal relationship, and providing a way of salvation. Today, we'll see how the Apostle Paul cares for each member of the body of Christ. Now, here's Pastor John Monroe with the second part of his message, Each One Matters.
When you're reading the Bible, do you ever wonder why we have lists of unpronounceable names? Do you just skip over them? All of us have probably done that, but today I'm suggesting that is a mistake. Each name matters to God. That's why these names are recorded in Scripture. And today we continue looking at the list of names in Romans 16. These are individuals just like us. Let's learn from the Apostle Paul and develop these deep relationships where we not only know people's names, but know about them, know them, and love them. So listen, as we continue to think of some of these names which sound so strange to our ears, but are all saved by the grace of God and recorded in Holy Scripture.
Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ, and my beloved Stachys. Greet Apelles, who is approved in Christ. Greet those who belong to the family of Aristobulus. Greet my kinsman Herodian. Greet those in the Lord who belong to the family of Narcissus. Greet those workers in the Lord. There we have it again. Tryphena and Tryphosa. Greet the beloved Persis, who has worked hard in the Lord. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, also his mother, who's been a mother to me as well. Greet Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermas, Patrobus, Hermas, and the brothers who are with them. Greet Philologus, Julia, Nereus, and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints who are with them. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ greet you. Notice the references to work. Paul is commending brothers and sisters who worked in the service of Christ. Now, the first reference there in verse 3 is to Priscilla and Aquila. They're described as my fellow workers. And the emphasis is on these brothers and sisters who worked hard in the service of Christ. For example, think of this commendation to this woman called Mary. Greet Mary, who has worked hard for you. Do you work hard in the service of Jesus? Alexander McLaren was a preacher in the 19th century in England, and he always said that preaching was hard work. And he said he could never prepare in his study at home preaching. He could never go to the study with his slippers on. You think that's rather strange. And he tells the story that one morning he was still in bed, and he heard the clump, clump, clump of the miners outside his door with their big boots on, walking as they did to the mine in the morning. And he was convicted. He thought, these are men digging for coal. They're up early in the morning. They've got their boots on. And here I am lying in bed. So from that moment on, I do not follow his advice in this one, but from that moment on, he wore his boots. That's strange. But it was a way of reminding himself that the work of the Lord is work. It is hard work. Like these brothers and sisters in Romans 16, he worked hard. Now, as you serve at church, would you say you work hard? One of the shocks I got when I left my law practice and went into ministry was that some people, some pastors, some missionaries, some people in the parachurch ministries didn't work hard. I thought, that is strange. I was trained to work hard. We were making money, and so you worked hard. And could it be that in the Church of Jesus Christ, we would be lazy? That we would be have a sense of entitlement? Have we forgotten that our very service is an act of worship to the Lord? That was Alexander's McLaren point. If miners are working hard, how much harder should I work in the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ? And Paul mentions women as well as men who worked hard in the service of the Lord. Work implies consistency, endurance, and faithfulness. And can I say, as your pastor, and I'm sure I speak for so many of us, that we particularly value those of you who work hard behind the scenes. The majority of people may have no idea what you do, but you have worked hard, consistently, faithfully, responsibly for many, many years. You know, it's never difficult to recruit people to come up here. If I wanted to ask someone to preach or to sing or to do push-ups or whatever, I could. It's easy. It's never a problem to recruit for people to come on this platform. It's never a problem to recruit people to serve on a committee where they're going to make some decisions and then expect other people to do the work. It's never difficult to do that. But it is sometimes difficult to recruit people for our nursery, for children's ministry, to be a coach, to serve in the parking lot, to serve in the kitchen. Why is that? Because these ministries are behind the scene. They're not visible. They never get the accolades. You're never going to get a standing ovation because you work week after week or month after month, but these things require hard work. I want to thank many of you who work hard. Now, there's another category of people that Paul commends. He commends Epaphras, Ampliatus, Stachys, and Persis as beloved in the Lord. Paul is going to show, I love this about Paul, he's going to show his love and his warm affection for his brothers and sisters in Christ. Paul is the best of preachers. He's the most brilliant of theologians. He's a great strategist when it comes to missions, but he's also a pastor. He's got a warm affection for people, particularly those who served with him. And here in this passage, as I read it, I'm sure we saw something of Paul's heart as a loving shepherd. Notice he refers to Phoebe as our sister. I don't have physical sisters, but I have countless sisters in Christ. Others of them are described as beloved. Verse 5, greet my beloved Epaphras. Verse 8, greet Ampliatus, my beloved in the Lord. Verse 9, greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ, and my beloved Stachys. Verse 12, greet the beloved Persis, who's worked hard in the Lord. Think of his love for the people. And then he ends in verse 16 saying, greet one another with a holy kiss. That kiss was the expression of love. This was a congregation that was going to experience and was experiencing persecution, but they were united, and how important it was as they were battered and criticized and persecuted in the culture under the Roman Emperor, how important it was when they came as a congregation, as a family of God. There was this warm spirit of love. You get the impression, don't you, of these loving relationships. Are we like that? Are we a church that is known for our love for one another? A warm handshake, a pat on the shoulder, a hug? We should, shouldn't we, be demonstrated our love and our warm for one another rather than our cold formality? We don't just stand apart, even in Scotland. We're not the most effusive of people. But we don't just say, well, how are you doing? There is an authentic demonstration of love. Why? This is our family. This is the Monroe family. We love each other. It's true we sometimes fight and disagree with each other, but we love each other. We care for one another. We haven't seen each other for some time. If that's true in our natural family, how much more in the family of God? In fact, in some sense, I can have more love and fellowship for you than some of my own family who don't know Christ. Because we know the love of God. Remember, Paul has said in Romans 5, verse 5, that the love of God has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. And I realize we demonstrate our love and our affection for one another in different ways. Some of that's cultural, some of it's personality, but it has to be demonstrated, isn't it? Do you demonstrate your love, your appreciation? Don't conceal your love. Don't conceal your appreciation for others. This is a cold world. As I say, it's an impersonal world, particularly with our technology, where people would rather text someone or put something on Facebook rather than having a real conversation with them face to face. We're human beings. We're not machines. And in the family of God, as we have experienced the love of God in our hearts, how important it is that we follow the example of the Apostle Paul and greet one another, you could say with a holy kiss, notice it is a holy one, but with love and warmth. Notice his descriptions of these people that they are in Christ. They are in the Lord. For example, verse 7. He greet Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners. They were well known to the apostles, and they were in Christ before me. Paul's favorite expression for describing a believer. Doesn't say they're Christians, doesn't say they're born again, doesn't say they were saved. All of that's true. They are in Christ. They are in the Lord. Verse 9, greet Urbanus, our fellow worker, in Christ. Verse 10, greet Apelles, who is approved in Christ. Verse 11, greet my kinsman Herodian, greet those in the Lord. Verse 12, greet those workers in the Lord. The end of verse 12, greet the beloved Persis, who has worked hard in the Lord. Verse 13, greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord. What's their identity? Oh, they're different personalities, different culture. Some of them Jewish, some of them Romans. But the important thing is not that. It's not their ethnicity, not the color of their skin, but that they are in Christ, that we are in the Lord. In our study of Romans, we thought of that. Romans 8, verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. It's a picture of security, a picture of a personal relationship. That being a follower of Jesus is not admiring Christ from a distance. It's not just trying to live as he lived or trying to obey his teaching. This is a personal relationship. I am in Christ. I am in the Lord. What an identity that we have as a follower of Jesus Christ. It shows the intimacy and the love, which is of the very essence of the Christian faith. Paul has said in chapter 12, verse 10, love one another with brotherly affection. Brotherly affection. The fruit of the Spirit, Paul says in Galatians 5, first thing he mentions is love. Fruit of the Spirit is love. Jesus said that people will know that we are his disciples by our love. Paul says at the end of 1 Corinthians 13 that the greatest of these is love. So be kind. Be kind to one another. When I meet with couples before they get married or couples who are struggling in their marriage, one of the things I try to remind them over and over again is be kind to one another. That's what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13. Love is kind. Be kind. Be a kind father. Men, be kind to your wife. Be kind to your children. Let's be kind to one another. It's an evidence of our love. Oh, we sometimes disagree with different perspectives. We see things differently. We can have a good argument from time to time. That is true. We do in the Monroe family. I know some of you never have arguments in your families. I really feel sorry for you. I enjoy a good argument, right? It's kind of nice sometimes, isn't it? To think, particularly if the person's responding. If they don't respond, it's not much fun. But doesn't stop us loving each other, does it? A disagreement. I'm not saying we should fight. It's to be done in a respectful way, but to love one another. So here it is, the Church of Rome. Could you imagine being there? Who do we have? Jew and Gentile. Women and men. Slaves and free. Converted Jews and Romans and Gentiles. And there's nothing in the New Testament, I've said this before, to suggest that our ethnicity or our nationality or our personality should be the basis of the church. Our Lord Jesus Christ demolishes all of the barriers. The big one was between Jew and Gentile. That is demolished. Remember Ephesians 2? He made us at peace. He's the great peacemaker. Whatever your background, whether you're raised in a pagan home or in the godliest home in the United States, doesn't matter where you're from. What matters is this. This is the question I have for you. Are you in Christ? Are you in Christ? What are we learning? Biblical Christianity values the individual. Paul loves, cares for, prays for, and values each individual. Each one matters. And so we who love Christ must also love and value and esteem one another as individuals. So we come together like this to worship God as magnificent, to hear His word. But we have these life groups. We realize we're not to live in isolation. We need one another. We get to know one another. And the life groups is one of the ways of doing that, where we develop these deep and personal and lasting personal relationships. And I remember when I first came to Calvary, there's a couple of guys wanting to act as kind of bodyguards to me. And I thought, do they know something I don't know? Is somebody out there trying to harm me? And they were kind of sheltering me from the rest of people. I don't need a bodyguard. I don't think Paul, I know Paul didn't go to Philippi and he was going to end up in prison. He didn't have his bodyguard. There wasn't a barrier between him and the people. We are equal in Christ. We are in Christ. We're in the Lord. And one of our goals, to get to know each person as an individual. Now, I may not know you individually, but collectively, we as a church, if each blade of grass is different, if there are no two snowflakes identical, how much more we who are made in the image of God? If God deals with us as individuals, if the Good Shepherd knows our name, if Paul the Apostle recognized and valued people as individuals, shouldn't we do the same? Now, are you doing that? Do you value your brothers and sisters? Have you recently encouraged someone who's working hard? Someone who has served you? Do you feel loved? You say, well, I wish people loved me more. So do I. I understand that. But that's not my question. My question is, are you loving? Are you encouraging? Could you send an email to someone encouraging them? Far better, could you thank them face to face? Could you demonstrate your love for them? Don't hide your love from people. Express it. And one of the best ways to get to know people, and this I'm sure characterized Paul, is to pray for them. Can you imagine the prayer list that Paul had of all of the individuals? How did he know their names? I think one of the main ways he knew their names, because he was praying for them. This is the power of the gospel. Think of this in Rome. Here is the power of the mighty Roman Empire. This was a mighty civilization, brilliant civilization, powerful. And think of this, that the power of the gospel had penetrated and broken through the power of Rome. And now the Roman Empire is gone. Gone for centuries upon centuries by the power of the gospel. No wonder Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just, the righteous shall live by faith. And the mighty power of the gospel had penetrated right into the very heart of the Roman Empire, into Rome itself. So there in Rome, the capital of the Roman Empire, are these brothers and sisters in Christ who forsake everything for the cause of Christ, who are loved and who are cared for, and who had responded to the call of Christ. And some of you here may not yet be in Christ. You say, what do you mean, John? I was raised a Christian. That's wonderful, but that's not the question. Are you in Christ? You see, the follower of Christ is one who has a personal relationship with Christ, who has turned from their sin, and who has believed the gospel, has trusted in the person of Jesus Christ, who died for our sins, was buried, and who was raised again. No, we're not saved in crowds, as it were. We're saved one by one, as each of these have. Have you as an individual placed your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? I urge you to do that, to call out to Christ to save you. Paul has quoted Joel in chapter 10 and says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. You call upon the name of the Lord right now and you will be saved. You will be in Christ and then live a life expressing your love for Christ by loving your brothers and sisters in Christ. John says, whoever loves God must also love his brother, because each one matters. Father, thank you for your great love for us. May each person here receive the love of Christ, that they will open their hearts and receive the Savior right now, that they may call upon the name of the Lord. Fill our hearts, Father, with your Spirit, that we more and more will love one another with this incorruptible love that your word refers to, and that our love for Christ, our love for one another, our love for the gospel, our love for the lost will grow and grow, and that people will know that we're your followers by our love. Help us, Father, we ask. Strengthen us in Christ's name. Amen.
You're listening to Pastor John Monroe, and this is The Verdict. Today, we're concluding a message titled, Each One Matters. But John has more to share in just a moment, so stay with us. Now, as we near the end of our final section in the book of Romans, we want to remind you to get your own personal copy of this portion's exclusive guidebook called Romans, The Transformation of the Gospel. This valuable resource offers helpful background material and daily study guides for chapters 12 through 16, along with questions and prompts to help you apply these lessons to your everyday life. There's so much to learn from this fundamental book of the Bible, so don't wait. Request your free copy of Romans, The Transformation of the Gospel, when you visit us on our website at calvarychurch.com/theverdict. And while you're there, be sure to also sign up for our monthly email list to get personal ministry updates from John. The Verdict is a nonprofit ministry of Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. We're committed to sharing the truth of God's Word every day, everywhere we can, so that as many people as possible will hear the gospel and come to a verdict of their own. And in order to do that, we rely on the generous donations of faithful listeners like you. To give a gift today, just go to calvarychurch.com/theverdict. And now, with his closing remarks, here's Pastor John Monroe.
Well, what's your verdict? Are you grateful for the people in your life who encourage you, who value you, who love you in the Lord? Think of someone today who may feel marginalized or forgotten by most people. Give them a phone call or a text or an email. Reach out to them personally. Show them the love of Christ. They matter to God, and they should matter to you and me. Next time, we'll be dealing with the closing verses of Romans 16. I've called the message, To God Be the Glory.
Thanks for joining us today on The Verdict. I'm Michelle Davies. Today's program with Pastor John Monroe was produced and sponsored by Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina.